you're just thrown into a world that you don't understand, and you don't know how to, you're screaming on the inside and you don't know how to let it come out.
We begin today with the stories of women who came forward with accusations against child predator Jeffrey Epstein. Over the weekend, Epstein was found dead in his cell at the Federal Metropolitan Correctional Center in New York in an apparent suicide.
I was always angry. After that happened, I can remember punching holes in walls. There were some times where I would just like slam my head onto something.
What I thought was so little to my life has affected me so much.
And you just become this numb figure.
Virginia Roberts Geoffrey, Michelle Licata, and Jenna Lisa Jones. Three women who say Jeffrey Epstein sexually assaulted them and arranged for other men to assault them when they were just teenagers. They're speaking there to the Miami Herald for the Perversion of Justice series from reporter Julie K. Brown that helped bring the Epstein case back into the public eye. The person behind the camera for that series?
My name is Emily Michaud. I'm a visual journalist with the Miami Herald. I think I'm still, like a lot of people, stunned by the news that Epstein died by suicide. It's taken a little time to digest and to come to terms with it.
After years of sweetheart deals with law enforcement and an uncanny ability to evade justice, Epstein was being held in a federal jail in Manhattan, where he faced up to 45 years in prison if convicted.
Finally, you know, after more than a decade, there was some hope that they would have a chance to confront him in court, to have this day in court that they were robbed of so many years ago. In fact, it robbed his victims once again of meeting him in court.
Justice will now look very different for the victims of Jeffrey Epstein.
This is just a sad time for them. I think it's yet another betrayal, not only by Epstein, but of the system that somehow allowed him to take his life.
What's next after Epstein's death? That's where we begin today on The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. Mark Fisher is senior editor for The Washington Post, and he's been following the Epstein story. Mark, glad to have you with us on the show.
It's good to be with you, Tanzina.
So there's a lot that we don't know about the circumstances surrounding Epstein's death, but can you walk us through? There appear to be multiple failures in the system of checks for such a high-profile detainee in a federal jail.
Well, there were and there weren't. I mean, on one hand, it seems outrageous that this would be allowed to happen in a federal prison. On the other hand, they seem to have followed procedure. In other words, he was put on suicide watch after a first incident a few weeks ago where he was found injured, and he stayed there for 6 or 7 days, which is pretty much standard. At that point, he had been meeting with his lawyers for 12 hours a day in some cases, and had been meeting with the doctors at the facility, and the consensus was that he was no longer a risk to himself, so he was moved into what's called a special housing unit, where there's not a suicide watch. He's supposed to have been checked on every 30 minutes, but as some of the prison guard union chiefs told our reporters, that you know anyone can kill themselves in 30 minutes, and so that is not suicide watch, and so he was able to do what he did. It is curious that he did not have a cellmate, which he was supposed to have, but what we're told is that one cellmate had come through, been transferred to another facility, and the next cellmate simply hadn't been assigned as yet.
Mark, the criminal case is over, essentially, because Epstein is now dead, but what are we hearing from attorneys that are representing the victims, the women in this case? What are they seeking at this point?
Well, they want to pursue this case, and there are avenues to do that. And the U.S. attorney in New York, Jeff Berman, said over the weekend that the case is not dead. Obviously, the case against Epstein is finished because he's no longer here, but they had been looking at a whole nexus of co-conspirators, people who had enabled Epstein, who had recruited the women, who had paid the women. And so those people are susceptible to prosecution. And that's what the attorneys for a number of the abuse victims want. But that is going to be a messy, long, and convoluted process. No one really knows where Epstein's resources are. No one's really quite certain how much he had. He told the court a few weeks ago that he had $559 million worth of assets. Some people believe it was much more than that. Others think it was much less than that. But what I was told by a former business partner of Epstein was that the money is well hidden overseas, and it's not clear who will be in charge of that estate.
So, Mark, we know that there is someone in charge of the estate, assuming there is an executor for the estate. I'm wondering, what about the question of restitution at this point? Is that not even on the table right now? Because it's still unclear how much he has in assets.
Well, a number of the women who were abused by Epstein are going to seek restitution through civil lawsuits. Some of those are ongoing. Some of those probably are yet to be filed. But how they get that money, whether they get that money, really uncertain, because they have to get in line with other people. There are 200,000 Americans, retirees, elderly people who lost their life savings to a financial scam that Jeffrey Epstein was a crucial part of, and they want to get in line for that money as well. So this is going to be a very difficult process, and it's not clear who will take primacy as far as getting any of those assets if they're ever distributed.
Mark, we know that Epstein's death came right after a big document dump. What do we know about what those papers said?
Well, they were interesting. They came out on Friday. It's about 2,000 pages from a case that's already been settled. The first voice you had on the air today from Virginia Roberts Jeffrey. She was probably the most outspoken of Epstein's abused women. And in her case, although it was settled, there were all these documents that named prominent people, politicians, business leaders, and so on, who allegedly were taking part with Epstein in the abuse of girls. And there wasn't a lot of new detail there, but it was interesting to go through and see just how extensive this network was, and the whole process of recruiting and paying and sort of keeping quiet the girls who he was abusing. It is laid out in detail in a number of these documents.
Mark Fisher is senior editor for The Washington Post. Mark, great to have you with us.
Good to be with you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.